Welcome to the Data Life podcast. In this episode, we'll talk all about the various steps to transition to data science from non-CS backgrounds. Data science is a hot field today. Many companies are investing millions of dollars into building teams and resources to innovate and leverage data science and machine learning in their products. Amazon has built Alexa. Google has been building Google Assistant. Companies ranging from Uber to Dropbox to Slack are all using intelligent data science and machine learning algorithms to deliver value. In fact, from most of the keynotes I've heard in the past 2-3 years by Google and Apple, machine learning has been mentioned at least once. So what this has done is that it is attracting the attention of lots of people who are not traditionally from math or CS backgrounds into the field of machine learning and data science. Based on a report published by LinkedIn, there are in fact a shortage of about 150,000 data scientists in US currently. In other words, demand is more than supply. Harvard has called data scientist as the sexiest job of the 21st century. All this hype and media attention has definitely attracted eyeballs from many people, and people from various quantitative fields like mechanical and electrical and other engineering fields, as well as physics and other sciences, and even non-quantitative fields like literature. So, is this hype real? Well, nobody knows for sure. But definitely, intelligent algorithms and data-oriented thinking is definitely the way forward. Not sure how much hype around this will continue. I do know that having good analytical skills to analyze big data is going to be important. So in this way, data science is here to stay. Before we get into the transition piece, I'll give you a brief summary about how I moved from electrical engineering to data science and machine learning. 5 years back, I was working as an analog circuit design engineer, basically working on electronics that go inside ICs that build up our modern electronic devices. Specifically, I was working on chips that ran motors to cool down servers in data centers. I actually enjoyed the analog design work, as it is a really tough discipline where you are expected to know all of the physics as well as simulation techniques and combine that with real engineering requirements. It was hell of a work. I came to pursue MS in electrical engineering in US. Towards the end of my program in 2015, my friends started talking about how machine learning was this thing that is making big impact and how it is going to transform the way we do business. Initially, I was very resistant to this whole idea of changing fields and trying to do things which are a little bit different. I had already come to US, I had already started doing my MS in electrical engineering, I had also written a paper in analog design. So, you know, it was a little bit of a, you know, a shell shock, little bit, to know that, you know, like the future forward is something different from what I've been doing. But slowly, I started to like read a lot of blogs and trying to talk with a lot of like industry leaders. I figured that there is no other way but to take this area a little bit more seriously and look deeper into it. At that time, as a student, I was actually looking for lots of internships and jobs in analog design and electrical engineering. And what I figured was that students who were in software development were finding it much easier to kind of get internships and stuff. And I was having a little bit of a hard time to even get calls. And this was really kind of an awakening moment because I realized that, you know, like, either I go into electrical engineering and do a lot of like testing and quality assurance work, which I was actually not interested in, or I start to take this whole data science stuff a little more seriously and try to transition into it if possible. I took this class called Statistical Machine Learning, and it was a really nice class because it gave me a good like kind of survey and overview about what is out there. But still, it was still a little bit hard for me to realize like how exactly would this area and discipline really kind of like so-called change the world. I also did Andrew Young's machine learning course on Coursera, and that was really, really amazing as well. So the combination of the two courses did give me a nice overview of the math behind logistic regression, support vector machines, clustering, and so on. But it was not like, you know, an immediate transition. You know, it took me a little bit of a time to really realize how powerful these techniques can be. Being an expert in an area in electrical engineering and transitioning to data science and computer science was like a huge journey. It was like being a beginner once again. Being a beginner once again can be good, can be bad. It was both, actually. The good was that I could learn something new from scratch and try to like really understand the basics of it and could really like see all the amazing developments happening in the world. The bad was that it was a transition into like overcoming your ego and asking like really silly questions. So as I mentioned, like even if you're not from CS background, your previous background in analyzing information and asking the right questions is going to be amazingly useful. Don't let the coding or the math bit scare you. You can always pick it up quickly if you know how it fits the larger picture. There are different pathways to transitioning to data science. One of the first things that people start to think about is whether to start learning Python or R. Personally, for me, I found that Python to be a very useful language because it can help you do data analysis. It can help you write as a backend scripting language. It can also help you do web development using Flask and so on. And also it can help you do like big data work using PySpark, as well as deep learning things like with TensorFlow and so on. So in my steps today, I'm going to be primarily talking about tools and pipelines around Python, but you can feel free to use any other language if you feel it's better for you. So the first step is to use external APIs or web scraping and learn data mining. This approach is to use external APIs or web scraping to learn data mining techniques. Things like using Twitter API, Reddit API, Wikipedia API, and others are actually great candidates to try to grab data and start mining and learning about them. These APIs have amazing documentation and will allow you to peek into those massive datasets and get back results based on your interest. Like, you might want to know what is the sentiment about your favorite team on Twitter. You might want to know how different entities of stock market relate to each other from Wikipedia dataset. Or you might want to know what's the highest rated comment for the different questions of your interest. There is a lot to learn in this step alone, like how to parse messy JSON data, how to store tweets, and how to like store dataset and keep them for future use, how to build a data analysis pipeline, and so on. I feel this is a good way to get started for beginners and feel a lot of accomplishment straight away. Tools for this step is Python, Beautiful Soup, Twitter API wrapper called TweePy, Reddit API wrapper called PRAW or Pro, Wikipedia API, Pandas, and so on and so forth. You can decide your own kind of tools and libraries, but I've always found these particular ones to be very useful. Second step is to start asking analytical questions on already pre-processed, clean, and clear data. So data science is like science of data. So basically using algorithms, rules, and intelligence to mine and parse data. Examples of this can be credit card transactions, chat messages, house prices, etc. All these data sets are really great to begin with and play around and find interesting patterns in them. The first thing is to really develop a good habit of asking tough questions about your data. Do not assume anything. Write these questions down somewhere so that you can see them as you use your Pandas and Python skills to answer your questions one by one. So for credit card dataset, you can start by asking which time of the day is most popular for credit card transactions, for largest transactions, and so on. Which countries rise the earliest? What are the minimum amounts of credit card spending in different regions? Another dataset that I found very useful is MNIST and IRIS datasets. IRIS dataset is really a nice dataset to begin with for decision trees and so on. MNIST dataset is really good for computer vision techniques. And IMDb movie reviews is a fantastic dataset for natural language processing. So the tools for this is basically Python and Pandas and anything else that you might want to use depending on your requirements. So if you're doing computer vision work, you might want to use Keras and use things like convolutional neural networks and so on. For analyzing the movie reviews, you might want to use Naive Bayes or LSTMs in Keras. Now for the third step. The third step is web development or the full stack data science approach. For some people, they love displaying and sharing their work quickly with others. Web development can be an interesting way to get started with data science as it gives you a full picture understanding of how products are built. You can learn about building an interesting visualization from a dataset and then displaying it to users on the front end of a website. I talk about this step in quite a lot of detail in episode 2. Flask is a great tool for full stack data science. In fact, this was the step which got me started in data science. I absolutely loved using Flask as I did not have to worry about exact algorithms of sorting, trees, etc. in Python and just focus on building something cool for others to see. We will be back right after this break to talk about the last three steps. The fourth step is to pursue the math and statistics behind the machine learning models. It is a great place to start for some of you who want to know a little bit deeper into the details of how the probability distributions and statistics of things work before moving into building the models. You can pick up things like linear algebra, singular value decompositions, Bayes theorem, hypothesis testing, p-values, and so on and so forth. Intro to Statistics by Sebastian Thrun on Udacity is one of my favorite courses in this area. This also acts as a foundation for the next step. The fifth step is to build machine learning model pipeline. In the previous steps, you have already covered analyzing and mining data. Now it is time to actually use machine learning models in a pipeline for building a product. You can build a machine learning model to recommend movies to new users, or you can ask people to upload pictures and help tag them automatically. You have come a long way, and I feel this is the most fun and exciting step. Product thinking can also be very useful here. For product thinking, I found the book by Marty Kagan called Inspired to be very useful. To perform supervised learning, you can build datasets on your own or crowdsource data generation from services like Upwork or Mechanical Turk. Mechanical Turk is a service owned by Amazon where you can kind of like pay people to build your dataset for you basically. Collecting and storing clean data is actually really important. Andrew Ng's specialization on deep learning on Coursera covers a lot about ML pipelines, how to structure projects, and think of metrics. This is one of my favorite specializations, and I highly recommend it. I've also found the book by Aurelien Geron on machine learning titled Hands-on Machine Learning with Scikit-Learn and TensorFlow to be very useful. He actually has a checklist at the end of his book that I found to be very nice. One last point about this step is that try to use existing pipelines as much as possible. So in my first project, I actually started writing my own code for F-scores and different kinds of metrics and so on. But I think it is just best to use existing code in scikit-learn, NumPy as much as possible because you'll be likely to have less errors and the community has already spent a lot of time developing these tools. And you build your pipeline on top of these tools, existing tools, and then go on from there. The sixth step, which I feel is one of the hardest steps actually, is to get better at data structures and algorithms. The five steps so far are more about data mining, analysis, using other people's APIs to kind of build your own pipelines. This particular step though about data structures and algorithms is actually not about using APIs, but rather about fundamentally understanding computer science. This step is really important to be able to build your code into production that can be used and seen by many people. This is perhaps one of the hardest steps as well because it's about the concepts and first principles and not about APIs or libraries. Trees, sorting, graphs, arrays, dictionaries, and hash tables are the fundamental concepts in this area. The big O complexity about things like when is it O of N or O of 1 can be very, very crucial when it comes to building production level machine learning models. LeetCode is a great tool for practicing data structures and algorithms. I've also found Pramp to be very useful to practice with some one person live on the internet and go through an algorithm problem with them. So these were some of the steps and approaches that you can take to transition to data science from non-computer science background. Being from non-computer science myself, it was a long journey, but I think well worth it. You might need to spend a lot of time to get familiar with these tools, but as you get better with these tools, you will have an amazing and magical power to build products and things that really help and improve lives of others. In an upcoming episode, I'll talk about my experience with Udacity Nano Degrees in deep learning and natural language processing. I'll talk about my review about the Udacity, the pros and cons, and so on. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening to this episode and hope it was helpful in your own journey to move into data science. Have a great week ahead and thanks for listening.